This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You know, I don't worship what you're worshiping, and you don't worship what I'm worshiping. So everyone takes his religion. Lakum dinukum waliyadin. You get it? Allah called them kuffar, they remain like this. Yeah. Right? There's no disrespect. This is how Allah wants to call them. When you say kafir, you're not, you know, saying something which Allah did not mention. Allah is the one who named them this. Because there are some people who don't want this, don't call them kuffar, right? You remember that statement of that person? He was blaming somebody for calling kuffar kuffar. You know? You get it? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says you shouldn't call them kuffar. He said, why? He said, because Allah said, Lakum dinukum waliyadin. They have their religion, you have your religion. So the Sheikh asked him, which surah is this? He says, Surah Al-Kafirun. Yeah, and it's so funny, you know. He said, don't call them kuffar. Which surah is this? He says, and he was using the evidence he has that we cannot call them kuffar is Surah Al-Kafirun. Which surah? It's a kafir. Anyway, so no wahid al-adiyan. There is only one religion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognized. They want to take another religion, we don't harm them, they don't harm us, everyone should take his religion. Yeah? Between us and them is kindness and da'wah. That's it. But to come and march, you go and do their rituals, they do yours. This one has never been practiced by our predecessors. It is very clear in the Quran that this is false and this is deviation and this is wrong. For a person to go on, worship what they are worshiping to show some sympathy. You know, you don't need that. There are always other ways to show sympathy, you know, without going and worshiping what they're worshiping. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them kuffar, so we remain in that way. So as I was saying, there are some people who are trying to to go and have these two faces. They have one face with the believers and another face with the others. So this is wrong. Yeah? We have only one face, which is Islam. And Islam promotes kindness and good manners towards every human being. So between us and them is respect and da'wah. But not to worship what they're worshiping or to side with what they are siding if it is falsehood in our religion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسُ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَهَا. أعوذ بالله. If somebody tells them, why can't you believe like anybody else? You're having these two faces. You know, sometimes this, sometimes that. Why can't you be straightforward in your faith? They will say, no. We will not believe like the Sufaha. Subhanallah, who are they calling Sufaha? The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, subhanallah. And who is Safi? You know Safi? Prodigal. Somebody who doesn't think properly. This is Safi. And in the fiqh, when the word safah is being mentioned, it is referring to not being able to manage wealth properly. Yeah, when they say safi, it's somebody who is not able to manage wealth properly. That's safi. You get it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُؤْتُ السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Do not give the safi your money. And subhanAllah, this is quite interesting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not give them your money. Yeah. He doesn't say their money, he said your money. And this money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to is the money of the sufaha, the yatama, you know, and those people who are safi. He said, don't give them their money. What is that? That's the hotspot. You think it's stronger than UIS Wi-Fi? What is your name? I hope it will not disappear. So please let us know if you can hear the voice. If not, then we'll move to another country. Okay, so وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنُوا. So I was talking about Safihi, right? Safi is somebody who cannot manage wealth properly. Yeah, that's Safi. So you are not supposed to give him his wealth because he cannot manage it properly. So look at the way Allah put it. He says, don't give them your wealth. It's halal for me to give him my money. But his money is very sensitive. Allah, when he says your wealth, he's referring to his money, not mine. But why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates that money to me? The scholar said, Allah wants you to have the same feeling that you have whenever you are dealing with your money. My money, I'm very sensitive. Adam's money, half-half. But my money, I'm very, very sensitive. Yeah. They said there was, and this is very, very good concept that I want you to understand, you know, that you value things according to the effort you put together. True? You value things according to the effort you put together. The children of the very rich people that have no tarbiyah, do they see money with value? No. Wallahi, we're told if it is true, you know, some of these people, they put dollars, you know, they bring a tray. Somebody was saying, I don't know, he was referring to his president in his country, they'll bring a big tray and arrange dollars like this and make them going like that, you know. He wants to play with his kid, you know, and then he will put fire, you know, in the one of them, and then you keep on going around. So the way the fire is going like this, you just want to see them laughing. And some of them, they send an aeroplane to go to Egypt to buy bread. SubhanAllah. And some of them, we have heard a lot of this useless way of utilizing the fund that belongs to the community. You get it? So what do you call those guys? Sufaha. So that's why their children, if they're not given a good tarbiyah, they also don't value money. One of our professors in Medina was narrating this story to us. He said there was a father who tried his best to tell his child money has value, but the boy doesn't want to understand. Why would he understand? He says, because, you know, we are rich. You know, one of them told his father, when the father told him, please manage wealth properly, wealth has value. He said, Dad, don't forget, Your father was a poor person. My father is not poor. Why do you want me to live like you when you're with your father? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. So this person, the father wanted him to understand that money has value, and he doesn't want. So the father one day decided to be very serious with him, and he told him, I need 500 riyal today. That's in Saudi. He said, I need 500 riyal today. And the boy says, what do you mean? He said, you have to. You can't be in my house without these 500, and I want them today. The father left. You know, they were so rich, so the father left. You know, when he left, the boy went to the mother. He shed tears. You know, they said, children of rich people, then the adult man just said, teach this like that. What is this? So he shed tears. The mother asked him, what's wrong with you? He said, well, my dad was very serious, and he told me I have to provide him with 500 riyal. She said, is he crazy? Where does he think you will get this 500? Just leave him. She opened the drawer. She bring a bunch of 500 riyal. She take one of them, very new. She passed it to him. When he comes, just give him that. The father came at night, and the son was so happy, he met the father. The father told him, where's the 500 riyal? He said, oh, don't worry, here it is. The father saw it, he knew that this one comes from us. Immediately. So he said, oh, that's fine. That's good. Really good. Yeah. Tomorrow, he told him, I need one more. The boy said, don't worry, just go and come back. You get it. Before he left, he went to the mother. He said, listen, I know you gave him the money yesterday. If you give him again, it's on behalf of your marriage. Now she's going to be very serious also. The boy came to her to collect his salary. You know, the mother said, never, you have to go and look for it. He tried, she said, no, there's no way for me to give you. You just go try your best. The boy went out because the father explained to her why I want him to be like this. It wasn't a punishment. I want him to be reliable because we might not live. Many people left, many people left their children in that affluent life and they don't know how to manage wealth. Wallahi, they finish the money and they end up begging others. You know? You're not doing good to your child when you don't teach him how to depend on himself. Yes, you shouldn't be stingy. You shouldn't be somebody who, you know, is, tightening his hand upon his family. No, you give them. But at the same time, don't exaggerate. Let them understand the value of the money so that if you, in the future you die, they know how to depend on themselves after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, the boy went out. He found people there constructing a house. You know, those workers, they're really doing a heavy job, carrying the cement, you know, up there, you know, heavy things. So he couldn't find anything except this one. So he told them, I want to join. He thinks that he's going to get like 1,000 riyal, you know, in a day, because the job is very heavy, you know. So he managed to find the owner of the house who owns the place. He saw him dressed in a very neat way, you know. He has doubt. But then he said, okay, no problem, go ahead. That boy was walking with them until evening, carrying heavy stuff. And so after they finished, the man gave him 30 riyal. Okay, don't forget, I cut the story. I forgot something very important in the first part of the story. When he gave the father the 500 riyal, the father tore it in front of him, just did it and threw it away. The boy doesn't even care. Okay? Today, the boy brought 30. So he told the guy, what do you mean? This is my wage. He said, yeah. You mean this is only 30 riyal? He said, yes. He said, actually, I'm sorry. The reason why I give you 30 is because I see the way you come. I started thinking that there has to be some need that brought you to this place. You're not like that. So I was just doing a favor. I added 10 ringgit. 10 riyal. Actually, it was only 20. Go and ask them. They get only 20, 20. This is the normal price. So the boy said, yeah, okay, thank you very much. I appreciate your kindness. He took his 30 ringgit back home. Very angry, you know. The father came. The boy was very sad. Yesterday he was happy, but today, no good mood. And badly exhausted. So the father asked him, where is the 500 riyal? He said, I don't have. He said, did you even look for it? He said, yes. What did you get? He told him what happened. So how much you get? He said, 30 ringgit. Can I have them? He said, okay. He gave him 30 ringgit. The father took them. He started going to tell them. He said, no. Give me back my... He doesn't agree with him to tear those 30 ringgit. But subhanAllah, 500 was torn yesterday. It wasn't an issue, you know. But this one, he doesn't agree. That's why the poet says, وَمَنْ مَلَكَ الْبِلَادَ بِغَيْرِ حَرْبٍ أَهَانَ عَلَيْهِ تَسْلِمُ الْبِلَادِ. Why all of these people, you see them living a very extravagant life and wasting money anyhow? Wallahi, because most of them, they don't have effort to get it. And many of them, they took it from corruption, from others, from the money that belongs to the public. Yeah, that's why you hear them spending anyhow. Otherwise, the responsible people who are suffering to get the money, wallahi, these people, they're very stingy in taking out money. You see them sometimes, some of them, even the phones they are holding, it's just a normal cell phone, that Thamud phone, you know. So he says, وَمَنْ مَلَكَ الْبِلَادَ بِغَيْرِ حَرْبٍ أَهَانَ عَلَيْهِ تَسْلِمُ الْبِلَادِ. If you, defeat a people without having to fight them, you know, you go to fight a people and they told you, no need to fight, take the country. Tomorrow, if somebody who's stronger than you come to you, wanted to take the country, would you fight him? No, you would tell him, take it. But trust me, if let's say at the first place before you get it, you have to fight to lose so many of your soldiers, you get it by force, and you're almost going to lose, but then at the end you got it. Tomorrow if somebody comes to take it, will you just pass it to him? Never. He has to make a lot of effort to get it from you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the rich people, and I'm sorry, to the guardians of the prodigals and the young people, do not give them your wealth. And your wealth here is referring to their wealth. But Allah mentioned this to be like their own money because He wants them to have the same feeling. Because if you're giving from your own pocket, you are very sensitive. You know what to give and you question, you ask, and you make sure that you put it in the right place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, treat the wealth that belongs to the orphan also in this way. وَلَا تُؤْتُ سُفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. But subhanAllah, when they are matured and now they can manage well properly by themselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says, وَابْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغُوا النِّكَاحَ فَإِنْ آنَسْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ رُشْدًا فَادْفَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ أَمْوَالَهُمْ. When they become matured and they're okay, they're not prodigal anymore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, give them their money. SubhanAllah, because now they know how to manage the wealth properly. So this is Safi. Safi is a prodigal, somebody who doesn't know how to manage wealth properly. That's why many people in this life, they are Salam. Many people in this life, they are Sufaha. You Allah, they don't know, you know. I don't want to make any calculation otherwise. Umar radiallahu anhu said, As-Safa. As-Safa and Tabdir is to buy whatever you feel like buying. Because you are a caretaker in the wealth, you're supposed to be focusing on the need and also the want, no problem. Those luxury things, but be moderate. Don't exaggerate. As I gave you that example, I need a laptop, you know, that costs 2,000 ringgit, because what do I do with the laptop? The vast majority of my thing is writing my articles, and if I do something extra, I just do my lectures, you know, rather than send a Zoom, I just do, that's it. I bought laptop at 10,000 ringgit with all those graphics and things which I don't even know what they are, you know. But I paid that huge amount of money for that. What do you call that? What do you call it? Safa. Wallahi, Safa. I bought a car, you know, I don't want to mention the numbers, but I bought a car which is a huge amount of money. It's good to buy a good car. No problem with that. Expensive car also, if you have, but don't go beyond the limit. There are some of the cars, and I have no doubt that this is israf and tabdir of wealth. No doubt this is israf and tabdir of the wealth. Yeah. But I'm not saying you shouldn't buy expensive car. No, you should. You should, can, no problem. Allah SWT wants to see the sign of the ni'mah, but I'm telling you, there are some of them, this is israf and tabdir of the wealth. If they put it in the proper way, you know, they utilize it in something else, it will be better for them in this dunya and also the akhirah. So this is Safi. They are calling the companions of the Prophet sufaha waliyadhu billah. Somebody who doesn't think properly. You know, the general term of Safi is somebody who is prodigal, somebody who doesn't think properly. You know, these people sometimes they grow older, they become matured, but still they don't think properly. They need a guardian. Yeah, they need a guardian. And they are describing the companions of the Prophet sufaha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ala innahum hum sufaha walakin la ya'lam. Allah says the real safi is the munafiq. Walakin la ya'lam. But unfortunately they don't know. This is what we call jahil murakkab. You know jahil murakkab? You have two types of ignorance. Murakkab and you have basit. Murakkab and basit. Allah protect you from being murakkab. One of the scholars said you have four types of people. I told you last time, but you guys always forget things. You know, when the new information comes, it deleted the old one. You should remember that one.
The one who knows, uh-huh. He knows, he knows.
Alhamdulillah.
And so on and so forth.
And so, no, mention the so on and so forth. What
the
is that?
He doesn't know, and he doesn't know, he doesn't know. The one who knows, but he is not aware of it. And the one who knows nothing, but he thinks he knows
a lot. Okay, and the one?
That's four.
That's, oh, you mentioned four.
Yeah.
I missed one. Okay, no problem. So the one who knows, thank you, Adam. At least you saved the rest. You know? You feel ashamed or shy? No problem. Okay, he says the one who knows, but he doesn't know, he doesn't know. Right? What do we do with this guy? Your knowledge stopped here, right? But at least you remember half of it, right? He said the one who knows and he doesn't know, this is a heedless person. You have to wake him up. He's sleeping. Tell him, please wake up. You're a scholar. You're a teacher. You're a student of knowledge. Teach others, you know. And you have the one who knows, the one who knows, but he doesn't know he knows. Yeah. Which one is the second one? The one who knows, the one who knows and he knows he knows. Yeah. And this is the scholar that you should ask. And the one who knows, but he doesn't know he knows. Yeah, this is the one that is heedless, and you have to wake him up. And you have our friends. Yeah, the one who doesn't know, and he doesn't know he doesn't know. No, I'm sorry. This one is, we keep him at the last. The one who doesn't know, and he knows he doesn't know. This is a normal, ignorant person. Yeah, this is a jahil. He needs a teacher, right? But you have the one who doesn't know, and he doesn't know he doesn't know. This is the one that donkey also says. A donkey was saying that, I wish there is injustice in this life. Yeah, this is in Balaga. They said him, Himar al-Hakim Toma. He says, "Law an safa al-dahr kuntu arkabu li anni jahilun basitu wa sahibi jahilun murakkabu." They want to tell you how worse is the situation of this guy. They said even his donkey was saying, "I wish there is justice in this life, because if there is justice, I will be the one who will be riding this guy. Because at least I am ignorant, and I believe I'm ignorant, but this guy is ignorant." And he doesn't agree that he's ignorant. Do we have people like this nowadays? A lot, a lot, a lot. So Allah salam al-afiyah. Whoever talks about a field which he doesn't know, this is jahil murakkab. This is the worst type of jahil. Somebody who doesn't know and he doesn't believe that he doesn't know. So these are the sufaha and these are the munafiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ala innahum humus sufaha. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. They are the sufaha, but unfortunately they don't know. So this jahlul murakkab is applicable on the munafiqeen. قَالَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا. Whenever they meet the believers, they will tell them, we also believe like you. وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا. Whenever they meet the believers, they will say, we also believe like you. Why are they saying that? To disguise themselves, right? They will tell them, we are with you. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَىٰ شَيَاطِينِهِمْ. However, whenever they left the believers and they go to their devils, shayateen here is referring to their leaders, either from the kuffar amongst the Arabs living in Medina or from the Jews. Whatever opinion you are taking, there are some scholars who are with this. But Allah says, whenever they isolate themselves, they sit with their devils, their leaders, they would tell them, "Inna ma'akum." Actually, we are with you, we are not with them. "Innama nahnu mustahzi'un." We are actually making mockery on them. We are not believers. We are just making fun of them. To tell them we believe in that which they believe in, we're just making fun. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because the believers don't know, right? They don't understand. They see a person coming to them, telling them, "I am a Muslim." But they don't know whether he is truly a Muslim or not. But Allah knows. That's why they said, we are making mockery. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Allahu yastahzi'u bihim." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do also worse to them. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُمْ. You see, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah yastahzi'u bihim. One of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-istihza wal-makr. You know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he does the istihza. Allah yastahzi'u bihim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he does the makr also to the kuffar. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get angry. One of his sifat is anger. That's why the scholar said, Babu sifat awsa amin bab. Babu sifat awsa amin. I think Yusuf Thailandi was asking me this question last time. The difference between al-ikhbaru anillah wa sifat. You have three things. Names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also al-khabaru anillah. Or al-ikhbaru anillah. Names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the issue of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very restricted. Yeah? The door, that house is too restricted. Cannot take anything other than those which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that these are my names. You get it? I know. The second one is the Babu Sifat, Sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one also is 100% restricted. However, it is more than, we have more Sifat than the names. Why more Sifat than the names? Because every name has Sifat. And not every Sifat has a name. So every name has sifa. So we have all the names. Nobody knows how many names Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, but each and every one of them has a sifa. But at the same time, we have sifat with no names for them. You cannot have a name for those sifat. Abadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does he laugh? Yes or yes?
Yes.
How do you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughs? And then he laughed at them, mashallah. Well, that's good. No, because I always say wrong, right? So he got scared. Relax. I'm not going to say wrong. You're right. But now since you cancel, you have doubt in that answer, then we say it's wrong. We don't want doubt in the Sifatullah Azwaj. So next time, be brave. No? Yeah, be brave, Hamad. But this is correct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them and laugh at them. Right. Yeah. Okay, alhamdulillah. There is another hadith also. I think Omar was going to mention that one.
Yeah, the last person to come out.
The last person to come out from the hell, right? Yeah, that one also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laugh at. So we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laugh, right? Yadhak, Rabbuna. Alhamdulillah. Wallahi, to have Allah that laughs. There's a sign of mercy, right? Can we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-dahik?
No.
Why?
He did not call himself.
I love this answer. Because he did not call himself. That's the best answer. But then we can add also on top of that. We have to mention this first. Because Allah did not call himself al-dahik. Finished. However, if you want to add, you can say also because having a name like this is not good. I said, Adam al-dahik. He would never be happy with me to describe him. He would tell people, "No, I'm not." Because when I say al-dahik, what does that mean? Laughing, non-stop laughing, just like that. If you see a person laughing, just like that, what do you think?
Not serious.
Or, I mean, if you are the very friend of him, you would tell him he's not serious. Otherwise, you go and tell people, Allahu alam. So it's not appropriate, actually, even with the human beings to have this, right? Okay, one of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-makr. Makr is plot. Is it a sifat of Allah? Yes. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. Allah says, وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا. But can you have a name for this? You can't. Why? Because Allah did not call himself Al-Makir. And also, if you say a person Al-Makir, is it a good name for a person? A good, a name to be given to a person? No. The one who always plots? That's why these names, these sifat, usually they come in the sense of muqabala. Please do remember this. In the sense of muqabala. Those things that are negative, usually they come in. Dahik, no problem, no muqabala. You know, ghadab, also without muqabala. But things like makr, things like istihza, you know, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim, you know. These ones usually they come fi muqabalati ma yaf'aluhu al-kuffar. Muqabala means in replying what somebody was doing. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهِ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ وَمَكَرُوا مَكَرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكَرًا. You see, they did. And then the reply comes. Because naturally, when somebody did something bad, his is bad. Yours looks like his, but yours is good. Is that clear? Al-Badiu, Adlam. People will describe yours is justice. His is oppression, but yours is okay. Do you get the idea? يُخَادِعُونَ وَمَا يُخَادِعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu يَسْتَهَزِئُ بِهِمْ. You get it? They did the istihza, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied them with that which they never expect. Is that clear? So when it comes to the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that door is closed. When it comes to the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the door is closed also, but it is, we have more sifat than the names, right? But both names and the sifat, we have to get them from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only. No aqal can give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a name. You get it? No aqal. We have to take it either from the Quran or from the Sunnah. Can we take it from Ijma? Can we take it from Qiyas? No. Why by consensus? No, with Qiyas. Qiyas miskin. Eh? How about Ijma? You don't take it from Ijma? Actually, we do. Because Ijma cannot happen without text. When you see the scholar said Ajma'u, that means there is a text which says that. So actually we are taking it from the text. Yeah, but we use the ijma because it's stronger in terms of establishment. When you say all the scholars agree that this name is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't have any doubt. Yeah? Because you have some names, some scholars accept, like Hanan, Manan. Not all the scholars agree with these to be. So the point is, if the hadith is authentic, then khalas, we have no issue. We just have to go with it. We see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of his name is Hanan al-Mannan. And there is a hadith which says this. Again, but there are some scholars who have some issue with this, based on how much they see the hadith, whether it is authentic to them or not. Okay, but if you say that all scholars agree that this is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so ijma removes the doubt that if somebody might be having, maybe the text is authentic or is not, that ijma will remove the doubt. And this is the benefit of ijma actually. It removes the doubts that you might be having when it comes to the establishment of something. Yeah. That's why they put it on top of Quran and the Sunnah, not because it is stronger than them. They get it, because it always go with Quran and Sunnah. It cannot go against ijma that has no evidence that ijma is batil, and it cannot exist actually. Is that clear? That's why the scholar said, for those of you who are studying usul, ijma is not a dalil. وَلَكِنَّهُ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى وُجُودِ الدَّلِيلِ. Ijma is not a dalil by itself, but it is a dalil, an evidence that guides you towards the existence of an evidence. That's why they said, as long as ijma exists, we don't need to check about the text. Because it cannot happen without a nas. Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah protect my ummah from having a consensus on something that is not correct. So the point is, how can you establish ijma? But if you can establish it, that issue has to be correct. must be correct. Because Allah protect this ummah from making ijma on something that is not correct. So when we see the ijma, we relax. But how to establish the ijma? How to convince everyone that yes, all the scholars agree? Yeah, that's the problem. Because here in Malaysia, how many scholars do we have in Malaysia? Allahu alam. Allahu alam. Have a huge amount of scholars, which only Allah knows how many. If I tell you all the scholars in Malaysia agree, you should ask me an obvious question. How do you know? Yeah, I will tell you because we check all the scholars, and everyone is saying the same thing. Then you should ask me another question. Do you know that there are some scholars who are not famous? Nobody knows them except maybe one or two, three people. Because they like to be hidden. They don't want to be famous. Contrary to our life, you have people, you know, may Allah guide them. This is their manhaj, but may Allah guide them. They don't come to a lecture unless if they have huge amount of people coming. This is their condition also. I used to hear about this until the time I see it also. This is their condition. We can only come, some of them, 6,000 people, some of them, a certain amount. If they don't come, then we will not come. You have in the past, we are told about some scholars, if he comes to the class and he found around 10, 15 people, he will tell them, no class today. Please excuse me, no class today. He wants a little. Nowadays, we want huge. You feel respected when you have a lot, you know. And that's why in our lectures, entertainment is more than seriousness. Why? Because I want so many people to come, you know. That laughing they will be doing, subhanAllah, not knowing that at the end of the day, they go out with what? Laughing. Yeah, the message you wanted to say, they don't get it. The whole thing they remember is those jokes and all of these things. You know? That's why you don't see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any of his lectures telling people what will make them so laughing, you know. Oh, serious. There are times when they talk and joke, you know. But when it comes to Islamic things, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is always serious. Anyway, so how do you know that every scholar, including those who agree also? We don't know. That's the reason why in the past you have some scholars who don't agree with ijma. They said ijma is only the one that happens in the time of the companions. Because the companions are restricted in one place. We can go and ask each and every one of them. But now, scholars have been scattered in so many places. To establish ijma, it's not easy. But it's true also, there are ijma, which everyone agrees. Prayers, khams salawat, and the pillars of Islam is all consensus. Riba is haram. Who disagree? Nobody. Riba is haram by consensus of everyone. Zina is haram. And so many things. Bribe is haram by consensus. But when you come to the ingredient, items inside, then you have the disagreement. What is riba? This scholar will tell you this is included, this one is not included, but generally they agree that riba is haram and one of the major sins. But what is it considered riba and what is not? Yeah, this is where the disagreement lies. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسُ قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلُوا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعْكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ So we're talking about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his attributes. So the last thing is بَابُ الْإِخْبَارِ عَنِ اللَّهِ We said the sifat and the names are closed, right? Nobody is going to talk concerning this matter only except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his prophet. So whoever tells you this is a name of Allah, what is the first question you should ask him? Evidence. Whenever somebody tells you this is the sifa of Allah, you ask him, evidence. No evidence, you tell him, please be silent. Allah has a book. And he has a sunnah that he gave his messenger. And he did not forget anything. Stick to that which you see in those books. And these names and the attribute, you know, subhanAllah, this is a very simple thing that, you know, subhanAllah, we shouldn't fight. But it's so funny that the battles among the Muslims is based on the sifatullahi wa asma'ihi. All the deviation that you see among the Muslim communities is based on this. Because people don't want to have the same manhaj as the predecessors. That's it. Wallahi, that's the only thing that happens. We don't want to follow the past. Otherwise, in the past, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, did they ever have issue, you know, amongst themselves because of the names and the attributes of Allah? Never. Never. No fighting, no differences. They're united. They have one belief. But later on, we have a lot. This one is this, this one is this, this one is this, this one is that. You know. Why? Because we don't want to take their simple manhaj. Their simple manhaj, they said, Allah knows Himself more than anybody else. Right? Salam. Right? Yes. Nobody knows Allah more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taib, Allah says, I have a name. What is my job? Ya Allah, you have a name. Is that difficult? No. Allah has a sifa. He said, I have a sifa. This is my sifa. What is my job? This is a sifat of Allah. And then somebody tell me, okay, what does that mean? I said, in Arabic language, As-Sami' means the one who hears everything. All hearing. Okay? What else? How does that thing is taking place? I tell him, I don't know. Why do you need to ask about that? I tell him, I don't know. And why do you need to ask about this? How come you know the meaning and you don't know how? I said, yeah, because Allah told me the meaning and He did not tell me how. Is it difficult? Not difficult. But you accept it like that? Yes, I accept it because He said He has. What's my problem with that, you know? He said I have this. What's my problem? But then Allah wants to say He has hand. Somebody says, no, cannot. Because if you say He has a hand, that means His hands looks like us. A'udhu billah. The cats, do they have a hand? Did you ever see cats smacking the snake? With what? With legs or with the hands? Just say hand. You know? Even the bicycle has a hand, right? The one that, you know. Well, it's so funny, you know. These guys, they agree. Even us human beings, our hands are not the same, right? Our hands, are they the same? No, even if you're twins, go and check your hands, you see, it's not the same. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his wife, the first one to follow me after I die is the one that has longer hand. So they used to come and sit together and measure. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not talking about that. He was talking about charity. Yeah. That's why Zainab was, all of them are very excellent in charity. But you know, people are not equal in the way they do things. And Zainab bint Jahsh goes first. And they understand that, yes, she was the one that was meant by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's so funny to see a person agreeing that he and his brother didn't look alike. You know, camel, they have eyes. Cat has eyes, right? Your eyes, is it like the cat one? You have one line like this? We're not like that. We agree with this. Why when Allah SWT says He has a sifa, and then somebody will come and say, no, if you agree with His sifa, that means it has to be like ours. Why? I mean, it doesn't even make sense. Allah, it doesn't even make sense. Allah SWT guide us. So it's a very simple concept. Just you, what you are required to do in this regard is just to say, Ya Allah, you have, and then finish. Ya Allah, you have sifa, you have name, and that's it. And apply that in your daily life. How to apply it? Remember that Allah SWT, He is Al-Jabbar, Al-Qahhar, Al-Muntaqim, Al-Mutakabbir. You know, make sure that you do things in the right way because you're dealing with somebody who knows everything, who sees everything, who hears everything. Yeah? You worry so much and then you commit sin because your boss is going to fire you from your job. And as such, you don't mind going against Allah. Why? Because you forgot that Allah is Ar-Razzaq. Risk is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Risk is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you remember that risk is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't care. You say the truth, you respect everyone, but you go with the truth. People want to follow, alhamdulillah. They don't want to follow, let's leave them. Let's leave them. Taqallubat al-haya teaches people. You know, the system is very interesting. Somebody who doesn't want to follow Allah, Allah will let him go. He will come back one day. And regret, because you need Allah to be between you and this life. If you say you want to do it alone, Allah will say, go ahead. You Allah. A person will cry. And if Allah wants good for him, he will come back one day and apologize. So back to the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very simple concept. with no modification, no anything. We just accept it in the way it is and move forward. Is that clear, inshallah? As for the ikhbar an Allah Azza wa Jal, talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the scholar said this one is wasi'ah. You know? He said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. Is it true?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. But is there any place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call himself ana mawjood? We don't have. But what you are saying is true. It's an extract from these names and the attribute. But you don't say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of his names is Al-Mawjood. We ask you for evidence. No evidence, we tell you don't. You want to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists? It's okay, it's fine. Yes, he does exist. You have to believe in the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to be accepted as a believer. Is that clear, inshallah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sifat. One of them is this. And the sifat, they are more than the names, because every name has a sifat, but not every sifat has a name. Right? So Allah says, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim wa yamudduhum fi tughyanihim ya'mahun. They are making mockery on the believers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also would treat them in the same way. And subhanAllah, his is very harsh. Because one of these, a thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be doing to them, is that when they come to him on the day of judgment, Allah will let them think that everything is fine. Yeah, the way they deceive the believers, they let the believers think that everything is fine. Allah will treat them also in the same way. Will let them think that everything is fine. They will go to the Sirat thinking that they will be passing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take off the light they have. The place will be dark. And they will be seeing the believers passing the Sirat with light. And they will be asking them, Undhuruna naqtabis min nurikum, please give us some light. And then the believers would tell them, Irji'u wara'akum faltamisu nura. Go back and get the light from there, because you cannot take light here. Allah says, Fadhuriba baynahum bisuri lahu bab. SubhanAllah. All of these are going to happen in the Sirat. That's why, don't compare the Akhirah with this life. You will always be wrong. Don't compare the Akhirah with this life. You will always be wrong. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that some people, they will be dragged on their faces. They will be walking on their faces on the day of judgment. Somebody says, Ya Rasulullah, how is it possible for somebody to walk on his face? He says, the one who has the ability and who grant him ability to walk on his feet also has the ability to let him walk on his face. It's very simple. And why are they surprised? Because they try to compare the day of judgment with life here. Did you ever see a person walking in this dunya? Half of him is on the ground, he's dragging it. Did you ever see a person like this? No. On the day of judgment, do we have people like this? Yes. You Allah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you to succeed on the day of judgment, you will see a lot of things. If you succeed, you will see a lot of things. If you can see, you will see a person like an atom. This is a human being, complete human being. Very tiny, one that you need a microscope for you to see him properly. Who is that person? You can take from his name, from the way he is, who is that person? The arrogant. Yeah, the one who is arrogant. Allah will bring them like the dhar. They will be there, people stepping on them 50,000 years. Because an arrogant person always raises up his head. He doesn't see anyone with value, you know. In this life, do you ever see somebody like this? No. So you don't compare the Akhirah with the dunya at all. They are not similar. They're different. Totally different. That's why when somebody, I heard one of those speakers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him. He was saying, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give people when they reach Jannah is what? Fish liver. That's the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. And then this person said, I personally am not interested in this, you know. But since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, we just believe in that. That's absolutely wrong. And this is what I'm talking about when I say you compare the dunya with the akhirah. Yeah. Even the cow liver, many people don't like it. Right? When we talk about the fish liver, for sure, you know, Many people will not like. Even the fish, some people don't eat. I wish them all the best, you know. These are real losers in food, you know. The one who doesn't eat fish, you know. Some people said fish is the Muslim meat. Slaughtered by Allah. That's that's the proponent of fish eaters. Anyway, is that the freshest meat we know on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call it lahman tari. And the healthiest one. That's why you might be deprived from any meat except this one. It'll tell you no problem, you can go with the fish. Because it doesn't have the harm that you might get with cow and chicken and many, many others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the first thing I will welcome the people in Jannah is the fish liver. So, what is my job? To enjoy that. To say, I can't wait to meet that one. Because since Allah praised it, what does that mean? It is something that you will forget where you're coming from when you eat. Hurlain, yeah? Sisters in Jannah. Do they look like Hur Dunya? I don't want to say Hur. Yeah, somebody says Hur Tin, you know, looking at what everyone is created from, you know. Yeah, the brothers also from Tin. But do they look like sisters in the dunya? I hope sisters will never stay away from our class after this one. But they didn't look like sisters in the dunya? Sure. You know. How are they? There is one hadith that I couldn't trace, so I just leave it as a statement of some people. They said if a person sees his wife in Jannah, he will freeze for 20 years. The beauty will take his brain. He doesn't know what exactly is going on around him for 20 years. Allahu alam. I tried to check where this hadith exists. Allahu alam. But we believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they are so beautiful, extraordinarily beautiful. And that beauty cannot be hidden. She'll be wearing 70 layers of adornment and cloth. But that light of the skin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in them and the beauty will refuse to be hidden. You can see it even through the cloth. The way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described them, somebody says, but where is the beauty here? Why? Because he's looking at this through the glasses of the dunya. This person should be invited to read the Nuniyat Ibn al-Qayyim. Nuniyat Ibn al-Qayyim, fi wasf al-Jannah, that he described the Jannah, trust me, you might say, Aqsimu billah, this is not Ibn al-Qayyim, it's one of the gangsters. The way he is talking, they say one of our scholars, when he read that, he cried. He says, may Allah show mercy upon him. Really went too far. Rahimahullah. And then he made a comparison after that. You get it? I'm pretty sure many would not like Ibn al-Qayyim after that comparison. But anyway, let's please some people. If she goes to paradise, the one who stays here, who will be better? Is she going to be lower than them in terms of beauty? Not at all. Nobody's thinking about this, actually. If they are like that, and she's the owner of the house, then you expect her to be way better than the way they look. Is that clear? That's how it is. And life in Jannah is different. One of them said, and you know, women have jealousy, right? Do they have jealousy? So, which one is worse? The brother's jealousy or the sister's jealousy?
Brothers.
Brothers. Are you sure? 100%. Why? Because his jealousy usually kills, right? It's a very blind jealousy. His sister, you can convince her to cool down. But that one, he has a very blind jealousy. Anyway, this person, she asked, in Jannah, am I going to be alone? They said, yes, and no. As Hurrain. That sheikh said, this sister, she used to say, ya Allah, take me to hell. Me and my husband, because in hell she heard that she will be alone. That husband, ya waylahut. Subhanallah, this is all happening because you look at Jannah and the hereafter with the eyes of the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي سُدُورِهِمْ مِنَ غِلِّنْ. No jealousy in Jannah. All of these things that you see in this dunya, they don't exist in Jannah. Uqsimu billah, what she has here, what you have here, will not exist there. It'll be a totally different life. Who controls the brain? Who makes the senses like that? Rabbul Alameen. And he has all the power and ability to make the thinking in a different way. Yeah, so I want sisters to enjoy going to Jannah, right? Yeah, enjoy going to Jannah, not thinking that, oh, I'm going to meet some people there. No, let them exist and live in their time. Jannah is different. And the house belongs to its owner, the one who lives here in this dunya, and go to that place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the believers cross the sirat, حُبِسُوا بِقَنْطَرَةٍ بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ, they will be stopped on a bridge between Jannah and hell. And this bridge is not the sirat. This is different bridge. They just cross the sirat and they will be stopped on a new bridge. And on that place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them to forgive each other. And he will remove the hiqd, jealousy, the hasad, enmity, and rancor, and everything will be taken away. So that they will go to Jannah as different people. You get it? So all of them will be like that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَتَّى إِذَا نُقُّوا وَحُذِّبُوا أُذِينَ لَهُمْ بِدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purified them completely, no jealousy, no hatred, no enmity, no rancor, no anger, no sadness, no worry in life, when they are completely pure. All of these exist in the dunya, right? Yeah, so that you will understand that dunya is not a place to stay, you know. Akhirah is the place where you should be looking for. No worry in the akhirah. No spit, no use in the bathroom. You know, nothing. You have everything at the best level. Iwallah. Allah says, لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. Whatever you wish, tell me, who is that king that is on earth that get whatever he wish? Nobody. Nobody. Yes, he might have the money to buy whatever he wants, but sometimes that which he wants doesn't exist. He has to be patient. But in Jannah, there is no such a thing called nothing, you know, exists which you need. Allah says, whatever you desire, not even requesting, you just desire, you want to see this, you have it the best way. And Allah says, these are just initial things that you will be welcomed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. So aim for that one. Life in Jannah, and be happy with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for you in Jannah. And do the right thing. And don't worry, Allah knows how to make you happy. Get it? Don't worry, Allah knows how to make you happy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim wa yamudduhum fi tughyanihim ya'mahun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does the same and worse actually, because on the day of judgment, they will be begging the believers to share the light with them. And then the believers will tell them, go back to the dunya and get the light. You lost it there. You cannot have it here. Allah says, فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورِ اللَّهُ بَعْ. Then a wall will be placed between them. بَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةُ وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ الْعَذَابِ. SubhanAllah. There's a wall. This side is mercy and this side is punishment. From the side of the believers, nothing except mercy of Allah. From the side of the enemies and the criminals, you see nothing except the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ينادونهم ألم نكن معكم قالوا بلى ولكنكم فتنتم أنفسكم وتربصتم وارتبتم وغرتكم الأماني. And that's a message to those people who are randomly visiting any website they want to visit. I really advise you not to do that, because that might be the beginning of, you know, going against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, take it very seriously, because you don't have control over your iman. You might browse a website, you read something that would disturb you throughout your life. Yeah, we have, especially the younger ones, and who are chasing, you know, fancy and new things. And also those who do not get good tarbiyah, you know, from the family, and they see those apostate posting these doubtful matters. Because, you know, let me tell you something. The main objective of those guys, the main goal, you know, they have is to put doubt in a Muslim. They say this is more than enough for us. Because trust me, once that doubt exists, it's not easy to remove it, and it will keep going. They will go and spread this doubt also to others. You have some people who will stop worshipping Allah because they don't know who are they worshipping. Whether Islam is correct or wrong, they are not yet confirmed and they are not yet sure. So be very careful. Choose friends and know where you are visiting You know, make sure that the website you're browsing, you know who they are. And as soon as you started sensing doubt, close it, cancel it, delete it from your brain. Don't go back to it. Wallahi, iman cannot be compromised. If you lose your iman, this is a great loss in this dunya. Because a person might leave this life, you know, in a state of disbelief and go to hell. Yet so, they will be telling them, please share with us the light, and they will tell, Alam nakum makum, we were with you in the dunya. They will tell them, yes, you're with us, but you always have doubt. In the truth of Islam, you don't believe that much, you know. You have doubt in this, you have doubt in the sunnah, you have doubt in the Quran, you have doubt in the truth, you know. And now you want to fix it? You cannot fix it on the day of judgment. You have to go back there and do the fixing. And that's impossible. The dunya is already gone. So please do take this simple message, you know, to warn yourself and do the right thing. قَالَ وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let them keep going deeper and deeper in their arrogance and their commissions of the sins. You know, this is one of the punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on them, to let them keep moving in sins. It's a punishment for you to commit a sin. Yeah, and when you open the door, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open other doors also for you. That's why the moment you open it, you have to quickly close it. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let you keep going inside and get into trouble in the future. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Next time, just open my thing. I give you permission and take it. And then after that, pay the rent. That's Hiba. That's Hiba. Where do you study? Ramadani, where do you study? Which kuliah? Oh, that's why you don't know what is riba, you know? I excuse you, no? Come to us. But don't tell that deen that I'm demotivating people from going to them. Anyway, what is that?
Barakallahu feekum, Sheikh. The first question is from Sister Murni. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, ya Sheikh. Ahsan Allahu ilaykum fi dunya wa akhirah.
Allahumma ameen wa ilaykum.
Regarding the story of the 500 riyal and the 30 riyal story, so should we get our children to experience hardship in finding money so that they value this?
Should we get our children
to experience hardship in finding money so that they value the money?
No, you don't intentionally put them in that. You make his life easy. But don't waste money in front of him. This is more than enough. Don't waste money. And don't buy for them whatever they want. Buy for them whatever they need. And the wants, go with the minimum. I go to the market, whatever my child asks me, I buy. Is that good?
No.
Might be good. Might be bad. Yeah. So what you should do, you go first, they ask you, buy. Okay, next time if you go, these are children, go tomorrow, they will do what? They will ask again. Tell them we've already done yesterday. Finish this one first, and then we come and buy the next one. No, that only this one. Last time, I will never ask you. If you to buy for him, trust me, tomorrow when he comes also, he will tell you that, can I have this, you know? So the best is, you do first, show them that you are generous. And explain to them the reason why you're not buying now, it is because the one you bought did not finish yet. And advise him also not to waste, otherwise he is going to go home. When you're not around, he will destroy that one. That tomorrow he will get the new one. That's why it's good to give your kids good tarbiyah on fear, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even if you are not present.
The next question, Sheikh, is from Sister Saada. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah preserve you and grant you firdaus.
Amen. You too.
A woman who was told not to eat from 10 p.m. because she is scheduled for fasting blood sugar the next day decided not to fast. She knows for sure that fasting would bring great difficulty because she would be fasting for almost 24 hours and she's a nursing mother. Is what she did okay? Should she have been encouraged to still fast and only break it if she experiences a difficulty?
No, if the medical doctors ask her not to fast, the best is to follow that instruction, not to go against them, if she trusts them. And they told her that fasting will put you in a state of difficulty. The best is not to fast. Do we have... I think it can reach. Mazin, it can go. Okay, that's it. Yeah. The best is not to fast. You get it? If the doctors tell her that you will be in trouble when you fast, the best is to listen. You have to be patient and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward her patience. You know, she shouldn't. Because if she fasts and get herself into trouble, she will be blamed Islamically. You know. You're reading a manuscript?
There's a follow-up to this.
Sheikh, the follow-up says she wanted to ask not to fast. She was asked not to fast, but rather to fast, but this would add hours to her usual fast.
Oh, so that means she will be fasting, right? And if she fasts, she is going to also continue fasting until the next morning, maybe, right, when the surgery takes place. Right? No, I would advise her, as long as she's not going to face difficulty, she should fast. And she should fast and be patient, because usually we can be patient until Fajr. Right? She should fast. Usually we can be patient until that. Because when they are going to do the surgery after that, then they are going to break her fast. Yeah. You get it? So I will advise her to fast. Yeah. Up to the time when they want, you know.